New Seed brings local growers golden opportunities for producing profit on their fields. They offer proven sunflower hybrids for every field and every market. Available with herbicide-tolerant traits and downy mildew resistance. Also, new canola genetics with advanced herbicide tolerance for commodity markets or a New Seed Omega-3 canola production contract that can provide growers even more golden opportunities. Regardless of which golden opportunity is right for your farm, a golden field is sure to bring you more opportunity for profit. For more information about New Seed products and golden opportunities, go to newseed.com. And be sure to follow him on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, thank you. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. Over the weekend, North Dakota Farm Bureau had their convention. President Daryl Lease joins us. Hello, Daryl.
Well, good afternoon, Mick.
A beautiful day in your neighborhood, everybody's neighborhood here, it looks like.
Yeah, we got a little wind today, but the temperatures are good. Sun's shining for the most part. So, yeah, you got to chalk that up to a beautiful day in North Dakota this time of the year.
Boy, yeah, for the fourth week in November, all is good. And usually on the third or thereabout weekend of November, you have your state convention. And how was it over the weekend?
Well, we got together. We pared it back a little bit this year, Mick. We went to a one-day business meeting, you know, so that we could maintain our very reason for existing, our grassroots policy development process, and finish that out for the year and set our direction for policies we're going to advocate for the next year and prioritize them. And we had an event on Friday to do that, and we had folks from all over the state as delegates there and discussing our policy and giving us our direction for the next year. And it was a good time to get together and finish out that grassroots policy process that we pride ourselves in.
All right. What were the bullet points? What are your marching orders for 2021?
Well, you know, once again, it seems like a broken record every year I say this, Mick, but private property rights rises to the top of the headline for us. And, you know, we're kind of the premier private property rights organization and, you know, the most effective ag organization when it comes to some of those things. And our folks keep finding things that need to be addressed, issues that need to be addressed, or maybe a different process to follow to get to our end goal. And, you know, a couple of those things, obviously the posting, you know, required posting of land for protection of it, that came to the top again as a priority. A new one this year, and we got some pretty straightforward policy on, was the open fields doctrine, and to remove that policy or that law from North Dakota's books so that we can protect ourselves out in the countryside. For those that don't know, the open fields doctrine allows warrantless searches in that when you get more than 60 feet from your house. So, I mean, all your outbuildings, your pastures, all things like that outside of your house, your attached garage, and any building within 60 feet in your vehicle, you know, you can have complaints about something. And one of them that's happened in North Dakota is the animal cruelty or animal neglect stuff. Someone could just claim something, and as long as they're out searching your barns and they're more than 60 feet from your house, they don't need a warrant or permission to do it. So we got direction on that from our members to say, hey, we need to change that in North Dakota and make sure that our private property rights are in the integrity of our system and our judicial system and due process are maintained all at one time.
So to change the open fields doctrine, this would require a change in century code. It would require somebody to introduce this legislation in the next legislative session and then get it passed.
Yes, that's exactly how it would go about. And it got prioritized as one of the priority issues. So that's exactly what we'll be doing, is working with some of our good legislators out there. And I think a lot of them will understand this. And, you know, And for the most part, Mick, it hasn't become a problem until recent years when we get this activist, you know, the anti-ag activist out there and environmental activists and the animal rights activists and, you know, different activists for different things that are really wanting to step on our private property rights and step on our due process. And so it's really come to light in the last few years, and people probably didn't realize that their barns and their shops are not protected as their house is.
Hmm. Well, it's the world we live in now, people with an agenda who are totally uneducated as to the way things are, production agriculture, Well, thanks for confronting that. Some of the other highlights from your convention over the weekend, or your new policy book.
We talked about, we're a freedom, opportunity, self-reliance organization, Mick, and you'll hear me say that a lot. I've said it a lot on your show, and some of that comes along. We're a free enterprise system. We believe in the free enterprise, free market, freedom to invest and do in legal business as you so choose. And one of the things that we talked about, we had really good discussion on, and I kind of, encourage more and more discussion as we went through these couple policies, talking about, the meat packer concentration and the supply chain and the processing chain of all of our food products, as we've seen some of those things falter when coronavirus hit here. And, so we understand that, you can't just yank the rug out from under these packers. There's some people out there that think, force them to break up tomorrow. Well, if you force them to break up tomorrow, they're just going to shutter some of those places, and we're not going to have anywhere to go with our animals for processing. So that's not a reasonable approach. But our folks believe there is some things, and they want us to explore them and investigate how we can, basically shine more light on the situation, get more transparency without going too far that it's going to inhibit our marketing opportunities and inhibit the capacity that we already have, because that would be detrimental. As we saw, when a little bit of capacity dropped this spring, prices crashed out here on the countryside.
For sure. All right. Again, people's feet need to be held to the flame, so to speak, and just got to keep everybody on target. Now, you had over the weekend North Dakota Farm Bureau scholarship, and you had a collegiate discussion meet winners. You had some really good things happening at your convention. It wasn't all serious nose to nose stuff. Huh?
No, we had our collegiate discussion meet, and two finalists from Fargo and two from Dickinson competed, and we had our auction, which we did different this year. We normally do a live auction for our scholarship fundraising. This year we teamed up with Pipers, and they hosted an online auction, and that actually just ended a couple hours ago, Mick. And so we gave them more days to do it, since a different format, and we weren't going to have near the numbers gathered in Bismarck on Friday. So we raised our funds for scholarships that way this year. We got a lot of neat things happening in our foundation side of things, and we talked about some of that, how the peer-to-peer fundraising, where someone will accept a challenge, and if, say $500 or $1,000 or $5,000 is raised, they'll do that challenge if people donate to the foundation. So we got a lot of innovative and neat things going on right now. And, all that supports getting the information out there, providing some education in schools of agriculture and how it's the backbone of not only North Dakota, but of our nation and of our world.
Right on. And we got to tip the hat to everybody who donated to the foundation and all the great scholarships. And Susan Hart, junior at North Dakota State University, won the Collegiate Farm Bureau discussion meet. She's from Parker's Prairie, Minnesota. Congrats to Susan. She's going to go on to the national. That will take place in January, is it, at the American Farm Bureau 2021 Young Farmer and Rancher Leadership Conference?
So that happens, right now it's still scheduled, but the collegiate one goes on to compete. I believe it's out on the West Coast, like Portland, Oregon, or something like that this year. Right now it's still scheduled, but who knows how things are going to work out here. But, yeah, they compete in the collegiate side on that end. And then our winner from last January's discussion meet that we held for the YFNR, the Young Farmers and Ranchers, compete this January. What would have been in person for the convention is now virtual, so I'm not sure exactly how they've got all that worked out for them competitions, but they'll get them accomplished somehow. So, yeah, I was telling people on when I sat there and watched that collegiate discussion meet, and Susan, she kept bringing up policy, and she'd quote policy out of our book, and I leaned over to one of our field staff, and I said, geez, she knows that policy book almost as well as I do. That's pretty impressive. I mean, she must have studied that thing, and because she was quoting policy and quoting it correctly and the number of it, where it was in the book. And even I can't tell you the numbers. I can tell you what our policies are, but I can't recite the numbers. She studied that thing. She knew her information. That was pretty impressive.
Sounds like the future of agriculture and the future of North Dakota Farm Bureau will be in good hands. Hey, Daryl, we're out of time.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the report on your convention, and have a good rest of the week. Happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners too, Mick. We hope everyone has a blessed week.
All right, thank you. This is Farm Talk.